Would you turn in your Bibles tonight to Joshua chapter number 4, Joshua chapter number 4, and Lord willing, either next Wednesday or the Wednesday after that, we're going to start back in the book of Psalms, and we're going to get back to our Psalm study in Psalm 61 is where we'll start. But tonight, I wanted to take this occasion to share some thoughts with you and a challenge about the importance of memorials in our Christian life. And of course, this weekend, we're preparing to celebrate a very important marker in our church's life. And I think actually the 40th anniversary of the chartering of our church. Let's see, what is today? The 27th. So it was just a couple of days ago here, and we'll be celebrating that this weekend. And some might ask, you know, why take the time among the other things that are going on and in the busyness of life, why take the time to essentially throw a party and celebrate what has happened here? And I want to address that question tonight and why it's important that we take time from time to time to make memorials and to remember some things that God has done. Now, in Joshua chapter 4, if you're not familiar with the story, God is doing a great work in the nation of Israel. He is in the process of leading the nation of Israel under the leadership of Joshua into the promised land, which they are going to then take step by step and city by city. The city of Jericho is the very first city that they're going to take, that God is going to lead them to, and God is going to work in all of that situation. And of course, the spies have gone into the land. They've come back with the report, and they've told the people, you know, the people are scared, and we believe God is going to work, and they're excited. But in order to get to the city of Jericho, they have to cross the Jordan River. And the Jordan River is not a creek that you step across. It's a river. And we also know from the scriptural record, it is at this time at flood stage, which means it's higher than normal. And they need to take the entire nation, a couple million people, across the Jordan River to begin the process of overtaking the land. And Joshua chapter 4 comes just on the heels of the crossing of the Jordan River. And in this chapter, God gives some instructions to Joshua about what they need to do in order to make a memorial of what God has done. So we're going to read the text, the entire chapter tonight, and then I want to share some thoughts with you this evening about the importance of memorials in our lives. In verse number 1, Joshua chapter 4, it says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you." And I mark that a sign among you, "that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." The children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. Now on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now our society and our culture is full of memorials. Everywhere we go, there are memorials to different events and people. You know, we live in an area that is very rich with history. I was speaking with a pastor that I had never met before when I was out in St. Clair, and he and I were conversing. We have a mutual friend who introduced me to him. And as we were talking, he's from the Midwest, and he said, well, our family is going to be coming out to Pennsylvania on vacation this summer. And he said, we want to see a couple of things. And so we got to talking about some of the things that there were to see, and they're originally planning to be on the western part of the state. And as he started hearing about some of the things that are over on this side of the state, we got to talking, and I think they're probably going to be coming over here in August for a couple of days to see some things, because he said, I had no idea that you were so close to Philadelphia and New York City and some of those kind of places that we'd like our children to see. But you know, as I got to thinking about it and thinking about the history that is in our area, one thing that is true is that there are many memorials. Now, oftentimes we drive by or walk by or pass by these memorials without really even thinking about them. There's all kinds of road markers. Just over here, there's a Buckeye Road, which is named after someone. And I don't know, you can take the challenge and see if you know who that's named after. And some of you do. I actually know the young lady who that is named after, who actually died in action in Iraq and gave her life fighting for our country. And I know her parents. And over here, that is named for her. It's just a sign, and it's named as a memorial road. Sometimes highways are named after someone. Sometimes buildings are named after someone. Sometimes there are different events which are memorialized. But all around us, we find that there are memorials that are set up to remember things. In the Bible, the Bible is full of all kinds of memorials. There are altars which are built. We've been studying in the book of Genesis, and there just last Sunday we saw how Laban and Jacob met together, and they built a pile of stones, and that pile of stones represented something in the covenant that they made with each other. There are written histories. The Bible itself is a memorial, is it not, of what God has done and is written so that we would know how God has worked at times in the past and how God wants to work today. We know that the tabernacle and the temple, which were built for the worship of God, were built as a memorial to who God is, and they were representative of the character of God, and also they were very picturesque of the person of Jesus Christ, who would be the fulfillment of those places. In the New Testament era, we observe the Lord's table as a New Testament church, and that is a memorial of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in our place, of his burial and his resurrection, and that we're reminded reminded at the Lord's Supper of all that Christ gave so that we could be saved. I think those of us who are married probably wear a memorial on our left hand as a reminder of the covenant vows which we have taken in the agreement of marriage. And it's a memorial. And there's all kinds of these memorials that are around us. Now, some people say, memorials are not that important. But in the Bible, memorials are important. You find a significant amount of time given in the Scriptures to describing memorials that were erected, time that was spent remembering something that had happened. And I want to speak to you tonight about this subject of memorials because, of course, as we go into this coming weekend, we're going to set aside some time to remember what God has done. And it is fitting for us to take time once in a while to celebrate and to remember what God has done. You'll note in Joshua chapter 4, there were at least three reasons why the children of Israel were asked to make this memorial, and three reasons that God had in mind for why this memorial would be important. Now, I do want to point out to you that the memorial which is described in Joshua 4 was not Joshua's idea. It's God's idea. Amen. It was God who said to Joshua, "Joshua, it is important that you make a memorial of this event so that one day your children will remember what has happened in this place." And so, first of all, we find in the passage that God wants us to make memorials so that we will recognize the victory that God has given. You see, it was important for the children of Israel as they crossed the Jordan River and they got to the other side, it was important for them to pause in that moment and say, "Wow, what God just did was amazing. What God just did was incredible. It's unbelievable what God just did." And in fact, it was unbelievable, wasn't it? I mean, here's the entire nation on one side of the river at flood stage. And next thing you know, they're on the other side of the river and they've come across and they aren't muddy. And they're standing there thinking, "Now, how did we get across that river?" They just walked because God made a way for them. And so here's the thing. It's important for us in our Christian life to take the time to recognize what God is doing. This is why it's important for us to make memorials. You see, it was important for the children of Israel to pause before they moved on to the next thing to say, "God did that." By the way, a memorial is not to say, "We did that." Right. A memorial is to say, "God did that." Amen. Isn't God great? We recognize the victory that God has given. You know, I think sometimes you and I are guilty of not even noticing what God has done. We don't even really pay attention to how God is working in our lives. Sometimes we're so busy asking for the next prayer request that we forget to praise God for what He has answered. And you know, it is good, and sometimes we're negligent in this area, but you know, when God answers a prayer for you, and you've asked folks to pray about it, it's a good thing to tell people, "Hey, God answered prayer. God did something." Pause for a moment. You say, "But I got five other things I'm praying for." Well, that's fine. You'll have time to pray about those things, but take some time to say, "Look, this is what God did." I think many times in our Christian life, we're guilty of living at breakneck speed, and we don't really slow down to think about all that God is doing and all that God has done. You know, many times we need to be ready to give credit to God where credit is due. I think a lot of times we have opportunities to recognize the victories that God is giving. And frankly, one of the reasons that we don't recognize those victories is because we're so focused on some circumstances that we don't like or some things that haven't gone quite our way. And so we're not really looking at the victory, but we're looking at something that has got us down. And I'll tell you this, it'll do a whole lot of good for your perspective to get your eyes on the victory that God is giving instead of the circumstances of life, which you don't appreciate all that much. I think You know, and here in Joshua chapter 4, it was clear that God wanted them to carry these stones. And this was going to be an effort for them, right? We were recently doing some landscaping in our yard. And in order to do that landscaping, we needed some rocks to create some borders around some flower beds. And I'm very thankful that we have a tractor with a bucket and that we can load rocks onto that into that bucket and bring them and dump them. Because I'm just thinking about carrying stones on my shoulder and all the stones that were required for that flower bed. And I probably would be dead by now if it wasn't for that. But, you know, these men are going to go into the Jordan River and they're going to pick up a stone. They're going to carry it on their shoulder. So this is a sizable piece of rock that they're going to carry. They're going to make an altar, a memorial out of it. So obviously this is not a small stone. This is a large stone. These must be some strong men. They're going to carry it out of the river and they're going to carry it all the way to Gilgal where they're going to camp for the night. This is not a small effort on their part, but it was important because God wanted them to recognize that He had done something miraculous in their midst. You remember how the children of Israel in the wilderness had complained about manna? And after a while, when the manna came down every day, the Bible says that they began to loathe the manna. Now, could you imagine that? Every day it rained food. Every day God miraculously gave them food to eat, but you know they got to the point somewhere along there that they said, "This is so boring. This is so tedious. We want something different." Isn't that like us? God works an amazing miracle in our life and we go, "Oh, can't you do something more exciting than that, God?" I mean, think about it. So many miracles in our lives that we ought to appreciate and be thankful for. And yet many times we miss what I would classify as little miracles. They're actually not little miracles. I mean, the fact that we are living, functioning human beings is an absolute miracle. Scientists can't even explain exactly how it all works, how your body doesn't just kill itself. How do you survive? How do you draw in breath? What makes your heart keep pumping? What is it that causes your blood to do the right thing and not the wrong thing? I mean, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, but some days we get out of bed and we say, "Stinks to be me." Well, how about happy to be alive? Praise God for the miracle of life. There are so many little miracles in our life that we just need to be thankful for. We need to recognize what God is doing. I think that's why the Bible is stressing so often that as believers, we need to take time to be grateful. See, God knows this about us, that we easily get our eyes off on the burdens. We easily get our eyes off on the heaviness, on the difficulties. And listen, we know there's heaviness. We know there's difficulties. We know there's burdens. But you know what God wants us to focus on? He wants us to be grateful. He wants us to be thankful for what He has done. Surely we can be grateful for God's work in our midst. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is familiar to you. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So many people are puzzled over God's will for their life. I guarantee you, people who are puzzled over God's will for their life are not thankful people. If you would be thankful, you'll be fulfilling God's will, and you'll also be in the center of God's will. Did you ever think that one of the reasons you might have trouble discovering the will of God is because you're not giving thanks? You're not really praising God for what He's done? You and I have a tendency in our lives to largely ignore that God is at work, that God is doing something. And it's important for us to take time to recognize what God has done. I don't know, we're going to talk a little bit about this on the weekend, but I don't know if you appreciate what a miracle it is when there is a true New Testament church somewhere that has existed for 40 years. That doesn't happen all the time. That isn't always the case. And listen, we ought to appreciate what God has done for us. We ought to be thankful for what God has given to us. We ought to take the time to recognize how God has worked and say, praise the Lord for all that He has done. We need to recognize the victory that God has given. I think in our Christian lives, we need to be careful when we see that God has moved and that God has done something. We probably need to be a lot better at celebrating God's victories that He brings, don't we? I think sometimes we're in too much of a hurry to go to the next thing, and we just need to pause a little bit and say, God has done something.
Amen.
God has done something.
Amen.
The second reason for a memorial, which we see in this passage, not only were they commanded to bring these stones in order to recognize what God had done, but second of all, they were commanded to bring these stones because they needed to remember in the days ahead. They needed to remember the victory that God had given. And he makes reference in Joshua chapter 4. No doubt you saw it. But in verse 21, he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Back in verse 6, he said that these stones may be a sign among you, a signal, an advertisement, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. You see, there was coming a time when there would be another generation that would come up after this generation, and they didn't walk through the waters of Jordan. They didn't go across the Jordan River. And God said, I want you to build this pillar. I want you to build this memorial here, because one day you're going to be walking by Gilgal with your kids, and your kids are going to say, what is that big pile of stones over there, Dad? And then Dad will be able to say, you know what, son? Let me tell you what God did. There was a time when we were on that side of the Jordan River. On that side? Yeah, the whole nation was over there. We had to get to this side of the Jordan River, and God parted the waters for us. We went across, and Dad could relate to his children what God had done. You know, one of the reasons that we need memorials in our life is to be able to recount to the next generation what God has done and to remember how God has worked in the past. You know, there are times in our Christian life where it may seem as if God is not currently working. And it's in moments like that, the only thing that gives us hope for the future is by realizing that God worked in the past. And surely God is going to work again in the future. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes your Christian life can seem so discouraged, and sometimes you can be downtrodden. It can seem as if there's no light. Okay, where do I go from here? And sometimes it's good to reflect and say, look, I remember what God did in the past. I know that God can do it again. How many times have I faced an obstacle in my Christian life, in my Christian walk, and I thought, how is God going to work in this situation? And then the Holy Spirit might bring to my mind, don't you remember how I did it in that situation? And in that situation, and in that situation, then I say, oh, okay, yeah, that's right, Lord. You've done it in the past. I'm sure you can do it again.
Amen.
Isn't it true that not only are we negligent sometimes to recognize God's victories, but we're also negligent sometimes to remember God's victories? Do you think it would be possible for people to forget something like this? That they had crossed the Jordan River? And yet, isn't it amazing how many times time fades our memory, and we seem to forget how incredible those answers to prayer were, how amazing it was that God worked in that way. I think the reason that God said to build this pillar out of these 12 stones was because God was saying it is possible to forget. It is possible to not remember what God has done. You know, it's important for us to recognize in the moment what God is doing, but it's also important for us to look back in the past and reminisce a little bit about what God has done. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you wouldn't. Hold your place in Joshua 4, but turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Now, the reason that it says, "Forget not all his benefits," is because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget how good God has been to us. Sometimes we forget the blessings of the Lord. Sometimes we forget, in our haste to move on to the future, what God has done in the past. And it is imperative for us to take time to reflect on why we are where we are today.
Amen.
You know, as we think about in this coming weekend, our church is in the place where we are today because of God's blessing, because of God's evident working, because of God's preservation of this church.
Amen.
Our church is also where we are because there have been some faithful people who have gone before, who have served the Lord and who have wanted to see God bless. And because of them, God has done a work in this place. And you know what? In a very real way, we have inherited that. But we've received something. But it's good for us to look back and say, okay, we've received something. But ultimately, this is from the Lord. We need to remember what God has done. Sometimes people want to live in the past. That's not the emphasis, and we'll get to that in a moment. But it is important for us to visit the past, to remember where we've come from. I think this is important. I know not every student in school enjoys history, but this is why we study history. Because it's important for us to know where we came from. Right. It's important for us to realize that what we enjoy today is something to be appreciated. It's something that was that cost our forefathers something. And I think even in our country, many of the things that we enjoy, we ought to be so appreciative of them. But we need to remember what God has done.
Amen.
And I think it's important, and part of the emphasis in the book of Joshua, is that God already had his focus on the next generation. And you'll notice this in the scriptures. God is always looking at the next generation. God is always looking at who's coming after. Now, it was important to build this memorial because one day there were going to be some kids who are going to grow up, and it wasn't going to be necessary for them to cross the Jordan River. You understand what I'm saying? The Jordan River had already been crossed. By that time, the land had been possessed. They were enjoying living in the promised land. And one day, they were going to walk by those pillars and say, "Hey, what is this memorial about? What are these stones here for?" And Dad could say, "You know, it's not always been this way. It's not always been in this state of blessedness. It's not always been this possessed land. There were some battles before. And there are some things that God has done." You know, it's important for us to be able to say to the next generation, God has worked and God's going to continue working.
Amen.
We need to be able to always be thinking, and this is one thing that I appreciate about our church, is that there is a focus in our church on the next generation. The next generation. You see, you start to look around and you realize we're not going to be here forever. Our time is passing. You know, I'm not an old man, but I also recognize that, hey, how many more years do I have before I'm passing the baton to someone else? I've got to be thinking about that. I've got to be thinking about who is coming up, who's going to be going out, who is going to be in leadership, where is the direction of this church going? Is this church still going to be here in 20 years? You know, we've got to have a view towards the future for that. But that comes from remembering the past. We've got to be able to say to our kids, this is what God has done. I think it's important to share with our children memories of how God has worked and what God has done. And share with them how God has blessed and what God has done in the past. And we're not expecting that our children are going to have to cross the Jordan River. You see, if you cross the Jordan River, your kids aren't necessarily going to cross the Jordan River, but they're going to have their own tests of faith. They're going to have their own obstacles that they're going to have to face, and they need to know that God is real. I think part of what we're going to be doing this weekend is reminding the young people in our church, God is real. God has done something here, and God is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
We need to take some time once in a while just to remember how good God has been to us and how God has brought victory in our lives, to look back. You know, sometimes I get to thinking and talking about different ways that God has worked in my life in the past. And I think, wow, that's incredible. I can't believe that God did that for me. I can't believe that God worked in that way. I can't believe that God was so real in my life in that way. You know, that's encouraging to me. And it's good for us to do that. But the third reason, go back to Joshua chapter 4. I'm just about done. If we get done a little bit early, would it be okay with you all? It's going to be a long weekend anyway. Joshua chapter 4. You know, the third reason that we make memorials is not only to recognize what God has just done, to remember what God has done in the past, but it is for this purpose, and I've already alluded to this. It is to repeat the victory that God has given.
Amen.
The emphasis is there in verse 24 in chapter 4. It says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You see, the whole purpose of this memorial was not to say Joshua was such a great guy. Now, Joshua was a great leader, and God certainly exalted him in the nation, but this wasn't about Joshua. It wasn't to say, man, those 12 guys who carried these stones were brutes. They must have been working out at the gym before they could carry those things. That's amazing that they carried those. That's not the emphasis of the memorial. The emphasis of the memorial is the God who did this is still alive, and he's going to do more.
Amen.
He's going to continue working. Now, I've already mentioned that, you know, it wasn't going to be necessary for the future generations to cross the Jordan River. They already did that. But there were going to be some things that they were going to have to do. There was going to be some obstacles that they were going to face. There was going to be some victory that they needed to get. And it says in verse 24, listen, the purpose of this is that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. We need memorials in our life to remind ourselves that God is not dead, that God is still at work, that God is still in the business of getting glory for his name. You see, God intended for this nation, the nation of Israel, to proceed on from this point. See, they weren't going to stay at the memorial. And this is an error about memorials. You know, we make a memorial and we say, man, it's nice here. Let's camp out here. Let's stay right here by the memorial. Look, there's water. There's food. We're all here. We're having a nice time. You know, this weekend, we'll probably enjoy ourselves a little bit. This is great. Let's do this every weekend. Where's Brother Fetterman? He'd be like, no, 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 no. We're not doing this every weekend, all right? Poor guy. Brother Gable's working on that video. No, we're not doing that, all right? Listen, it's not, we don't do memorials and then say, let's stay here. In fact, you know, sometimes when we attend preachers' meetings and things like that, we enjoy the fellowship, and we had the privilege of being in St. Clair, Missouri, just outside St. Louis a few weeks ago, and saw a lot of friends in the ministry and rejoiced together and heard a lot of good preaching and ate meals and fellowshiped. It was great. And sometimes you're in a place like that and you're like, let's just stay here. But that's not what God has called us to do. God's given us a job to do. So a memorial is not saying, okay, let's stay here at the memorial. The nation of Israel was going to build the memorial, and then they were going to go on. They were going to move on. They were going to conquer the land. They were going to go and get some cities. In fact, they were going to go get Jericho. They were going to go and get some of these other places. They're going to possess the land. You see, God doesn't want us to live in that place of memorial. He wants us to visit there. And the reason for visiting there is to remind us that God, who did work, is working and will work. God is the God of the impossible. I believe that God wants us to remember things, but he doesn't want us, you know, sometimes we can become sappy sentimentalists, and we can become so caught in the past that we refuse to go forward into the future. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Say, I'm going to use a silly example. the pastor, how could you remove the carpet? I mean, that carpet is special. There's been messages preached by people who walked on that carpet, and it's been there for years, and we like that carpet, and you're going to change the color, or you're going to... I'm not redecorating the auditorium, right? But people say, oh, you know, if you change the carpet, it just won't be the same. That's a silly example, but doesn't that happen to us? And then we end up living in the past. You know, God doesn't want us to live in the past talking about all the things that God used to do constantly. He wants us to visit the past and say, God is still working. God is still doing some things. Hey, listen, Lehigh Valley Baptist Church was planted and chartered 40 years ago. But you know, God is still in the business of starting churches. God is still in the business of establishing churches for the glory of His name. And He's asked us to be a part of that work. He doesn't want us to stay in the past there. He wants us to move on into the future and think about what God wants to do. We're going to hear some things about what God has done in the past, in the history of our church, and different things that He's allowed us to be involved in. But you understand that God's focus for us is not in the past, it's in the future. And I would say, even more than in the future, it's in the now. What is God doing right now? How is God working? And more importantly, how does God want me to walk right now? Victory should lead on to victory in the Christian life. You know, the sad truth is that it doesn't always happen that way. And the reason is because sometimes people get lost in the past and they're not ready to continue walking forward with the Lord. And so as we think about memorials, one of the important reasons for a memorial is so that we can repeat the victory that God has given, so that we can move forward and do more things. You say, you know, what are you thinking, Pastor? I'm thinking that God wants to do more with our church. I don't want to take this memorial this weekend and say all our best days are in the past 40 years. I want to think about, okay, if God did that, then what does God want to do now and in the days ahead? How is God going to work? In conclusion, memorials are important. We need to be careful to remember publicly and privately the victories that God has given to us. We'll have some opportunities. You know, to be honest with you, I wish that we had time this weekend for every member of the church to give a testimony about what God has done in their lives and how God brought them here and what God has done through this church. We just don't have time for that. It's going to be, we'd be here for several weekends to do that. What we can do, however, and we'll have some of those kind of testimonies shared publicly, but what we can do Saturday and Sunday is talk to one another about, hey, listen, when I came through the doors of that church, I was lost. And I heard the gospel, and God worked in my life, and look at how God has blessed my life. And we can share those memories one with another and what God has done, and that can be a tremendous blessing to others. You know, there's different ways that we can create a memorial. One way that we can create a memorial is what we're doing this weekend and remembering what God has done and stopping to celebrate. There's some cost that's involved in it. There's some time. There's some energy that's being expended in order to do so, but it's worth it. It's important that we make these memorials. You know, we can share testimonies with others about what God has done. I think one of the most fascinating things about a personal testimony, when people hear that, is God worked in your life that way. God could work in my life that way. Amen. And we ought to share our testimonies with one another. I think, you know, some people enjoy writing a journal and just writing down, here's what God did today. And some people journal differently. And I'm sure, you know, if you keep a journal, you can flip back in that journal and look at the date and see what God has done. And that's a great remembrance, a great remembering tool of God's blessing in your life. We can remember how God has blessed in the past. But, you know, brethren, no matter what we do to make memorials, and it's important that we make memorials, let's not make the mistake of camping out at the memorial. Let's visit that memorial. Let's remember what God has done. And let's go forward in the cause of Christ, because God is leading us from victory unto victory. Amen. God is leading us for the glory of His name.